Hello and welcome to the Chem 8L podcast. Today I am joined by Hannah Nash. Hannah, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, how long ago was it that you took this series, that you like took the organic labs?
I think it was about a year and a half ago, actually.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Thank you so much for doing this with us. Get to hear some new voices. Yeah. We're going to get started. We're working here on experiment 4. This is the IR exercise. I'm going to start with the learning objectives. So we're going to understand the principles behind IR spectroscopy as it relates to the stretching and bending of bonds. We're going to observe the inverse relationship between vibrational frequency and bond length. We're going to analyze spectra to predict functional groups and bonds in an organic molecule. We'll understand the role resonance plays in vibrational frequencies and observe the effects on sample preparation on the quality of spectra.
In this experiment, students will study the infrared spectra of aspirin, carbone, and methyl salicylate, or wintergreen oil. The purpose of the experiment is to become familiar with IR spectroscopy, including sample preparation and the interpretation of IR spectra for bond and functional group identification. Carbone is a monoterpenoid that is the oxidation product of limonene, the main component of citrus oil. Methyl salicylate is most used in chewing gum for flavor and in muscle rubs for its cooling and pain relieving properties. Carbone and methyl salicylate are liquids in there, and their IR or their infrared spectra are obtained directly from a very small drop of pure material. Methyl salicylate is the hydrolysis product of aspirin, a commonly known analgesic used for headaches. Aspirin is a solid and is diluted with the hydrocarbon mixture Newhol to prepare the sample for IR analysis. See figure 1, structures of compounds to be analyzed by IR. IR spectroscopy is similar to spectrophotometry. Oh!
It's all good. Spectrophotometry.
Spectrophotometry. Okay, sorry about that.
All good.
IR spectroscopy is similar to spectrophotometry, a common technique in the general chemistry labs to determine the concentration of colorful samples based on the absorbance of visible light. In spectrophotometry, a sample absorbs a specific wavelength of light in the visible range of the electromagnetic spectrum. The spectrophotometer displays an absorbance value that is correlated to the concentration of the solution. IR spectroscopy explores a different range of the radiation in order to determine the types of bonds and functional groups present within a molecule. Every molecule has a unique IR spectrum with multiple absorbances at specific frequencies referred to as wave numbers. You can see figure 2, electromagnetic spectrum, highlighting the infrared region.
Molecules are always in motion at rapid rates that are difficult to fathom. Translational motion is when a molecule moves to a different space. The rate of translational vibrations is highest for gases and lowest for solids. Bonds within molecules are constantly rotating, particularly sigma or signal bonds. The frequency of translational and rotational vibrations is not detected by IR spectroscopy. IR active bonds are those that exhibit anti-symmetric stretching and out-of-plane bending. See figure 3. Stretching and bending of bonds in organic molecules occur at frequencies within the IR range between 400 and 4,000 inverse centimeters. Absorption of IR radiation in the spectrometer results in the amplified stretching of and bending of bonds characteristic to its functional group. See figure 3 for stretching and bending vibrations. Wave number is the preferred unit for IR spectroscopy simply because the values are easier to work with than wavelength. Wave number is the inverse of wavelength, though it's not a typical frequency unit being cycles per second. Wave number is proportional to frequency, so the terms are used interchangeably in IR discussions, and see equation 1. The general rule in understanding IR spectra is that longer bonds go through a vibrational cycle less frequently, and shorter bonds vibrate more frequently. A longer bond equals a slower or lower stretching frequency. During IR analysis, energy is absorbed by each IR active bond, and the remaining transmitted or not absorbed IR frequencies are detected by the instrument and plotted on the spectrum, wave number versus percent transmittance. See figure 4 for a crude diagram of IR spectroscopy and amateur sketch of alcohol spectrum.
Bonds expand and contract at relatively higher frequencies, 1,000 to 4,000 inverse centimeters, and CH out of plane bending occurs at lower frequencies, between 500 and 1,000. Note that the out of plane bending occurs within the fingerprint region, which displays characteristic signals for specific compounds, like its unique fingerprint. The region between 1,000 and 1,500 is often ignored due to the complex overlap of the numerous CC, CNs, and CO bonds, often present in organic molecules. A complete table of functional groups, bonds, and expected wave number ranges is at the end of this document and posted separately on Canvas. Typical examples and trends are discussed below. See Figure 5, four main regions of the IR spectrum. The main factors affecting bond length, and therefore vibrational frequency, are atomic radius, hybridization or type of bond, and conjugation or resonance. Single bonds to hydrogen are the shortest bonds because hydrogen is the smallest atom and thus have the highest stretching frequencies, such as 2,800 to 4,000 inverse centimeters. Single bonds between sp3 hybridized CC, CN, and CO are the longest bonds and have the lowest stretching frequencies, 1,000 to 500 for 1,500, for example, though these signals are typically ignored in IR spectra as mentioned above. Atoms that are sp2 hybridized, typically double bonds, are held closer together and stretch more frequently than corresponding single bonds. A sharp signal around 1,700 inverse centimeters is characteristic of a carbonyl. The identity of the carbonyl functional group determines a more specific range of stretching frequency. This allows the observer to predict whether the carbonyl is within an aldehyde or a carboxylic acid, for example. This trend continues with sp hybridized atoms, often triple bonds, which stretch between 2,000 and 2,800. The ranges presented above are general guidelines. When the functional group is conjugated or participates in resonance, the overall bond length is increased and the stretching frequency decreases. This is exemplified in figure 6 below. The quickest way to spot a conjugated functional group is to look for alternating double, single, double bonds. See figure 6 for comparison of stretching frequencies in a saturated versus conjugated ketone.
Yay. Okay, this lab exercise will focus on using IR spectra to confirm the presence of functional groups in known compounds. Before running the IR sample, signals are predicted by making a list of all functional groups in the molecule. The IR table of values at the end of this document provides the expected range of frequencies for each type of bond within each type of functional group. A worked example of predicted IR signals and assignment of a literature spectrum is presented below. So I'm going to list some of the steps for predicting the IR spectra, and you can see the lab PDF for the outcome. But first, we start by determining each functional group in the molecule. We next use the IR table to find the IR active bonds within each functional group and its expected wave number range. Within this, keep in mind that you should list all bonds and vibrations. Some functional groups may have multiple IR active bonds, and some bonds may have two different vibrations. For example, CH bonds in arenes both stretch and bend. Don't forget to determine whether any double bonds are saturated or conjugated, meaning they participate in resonance with a neighboring pi bond. Lastly, if alkenes or an aromatic ring is present, use IR table 2 to determine the more specific range of CH bending frequencies. The substitution patterns of an alkene or arene ring affect the CH bending vibrations. And again, see the lab PDF for an example table and IR spectrum.
Properly identifying functional groups is half the battle. The IR table gives typical ranges, but remember that factors like conjugation could cause certain bonds to be outside that range. An acceptable limit outside of the range is 40 inverse centimeters, above or below, as long as the structure supports the outlier, or the highly conjugated bonds may be outside this range. Otherwise, if no signal is observed within that range, it should be reported as not observed. There are often multiple bonds in the same range, causing signal overlap. One signal may be assigned to two or more bonds along with a note to the reader. A final factor not yet discussed is the variation in carbon-hydrogen out-of-plane bending frequencies. Large ranges are listed for carbon-hydrogen bend in an aromatic ring, 900 to 680 inverse centimeters. Incorporating the substitution pattern of the ring allows Incorporating the substitution pattern of the ring narrows this range to something like 770 to 735 inverse centimeters. More relationships are given in the tables at the end of this PDF. Now we'll go on to the procedure. So the overview of that procedure will be that we will predict the IR signals for each compound below. Watch the demonstrations on preparing and running IR samples, then obtain the IR spectra of carvone, methyl salicylate, and aspirin. Use salt plates of pure NaCl to support the sample. NaCl does not absorb IR radiation, making it an ideal material to hold samples. The NaCl plates are very fragile and break easily. Handle them with care and never wash them with water. They will dissolve. Instead, use small amounts of the acetone saturated with NaCl provided in the IR kit. All right, time to move on to predicting spectra. Make three tables, one for each compound, with functional groups, bonds, and expected wave number ranges. Use the IR table and steps on the previous page for predicting IR bond vibrations and corresponding wave number ranges. Note that one functional group may have several IR active bonds, and that carbon-hydrogen bonds and alkenes and arenes have two vibrations, stretch and bind. Students will interpret two IR spectra per compound, one from the literature and one obtained by the TAs. Interpret the spectra by looking for a signal within each expected range and listing the corresponding wave number in the table. It is important to note that not every signal in the IR spectrum will be assigned to a bond. As discussed on the previous page, some signals may not be observed and some may be slightly outside the expected range. For the IR of liquid samples of carvone and methyl salicylate, touch the liquid with the tip of a pipette to pick up a small drop of liquid, then touch the center of the salt plate with the tip of the pipette using your thumb to apply pressure. This small amount of liquid should be enough to obtain a good IR. Cover the plate with half and spread with the other half and spread the liquid by rotating the plates. Place the plates inside the plate holder, being careful not to break the plates as demonstrated by your TA, and obtain the IR spectrum. A nice looking IR will contain bends ending in sharp peaks rather than being flat at the bottom. Flat signals or diagonal baseline are a result of too much sample being used.
Last little bit, everyone, we're moving on to obtaining an IR of a solid sample. So we'll place a micro spatula full of the solid in a mortar and just like a porcelain dish and add just one drop of Nuzhal. Grind the mixture with a pestle for about a minute to get a dense paste, aka a Nuzhal mull. Grinding the solid very well is necessary since big solid particles will scatter IR light and lead to curved baselines and distorted spectra. Scoop some of the mull with the rubber policeman provided in the IR kit and spread it on one of the salt plates. Cover with the other plate and rotate them to further spread the mull. Obtain the IR the same way you did for the liquid sample. Keep in mind that Nuzhal absorbs IR radiation as well. Take a look at the IR of Nuzhal for reference and to avoid confusing Nuzhal peaks for sample peaks. It is fairly common for students' first mull to contain too much Nuzhal, in which case the procedure is repeated, but you'll be better at it next time. So again, we're skipping over the safety and cleanup and the pre-lab questions and the DEETs, so you can find all of that good stuff in the lab PDF. Thank you all so much for listening to Experiment 4, IR Spectroscopy. Thank you again to Hannah. Did you have fun?
Oh, it was so much fun. Thank you so much.
All right, well, we're going to go out on our bikes, or I'm going to go out on my bike. Are you going to go out on your bike?
I already rode this morning, so.
Nice.
I'm done for the day.
Nice. Cool. All right. Well, thank you again. Bye, everybody.
Bye.